Hey friends, just wanted to give you a little quick heads up here. The audio in this podcast you're about to hear was not awesome, but it's also not terrible. If you can bear with it, Michael gives you some wisdom gems. So hang in there. I hope you like the podcast. God bless. If you have prayer requests, that kind of thing, just send them to us, thinlinebelievers@gmail.com. Okay? All right. Dive into this. God bless.
Ladies and gentlemen, look who's on the screen, Adam from Thin Line Believers. Yes, yes, yes. He's relaxing. He's all tatted up. I'm getting old because I got my readers on. Check this out, folks. Those of you that are listening, you're missing it out.
We're the Thin Line Believers, okay? And hopefully
welcome
so are you.
Back a second yeah. As I'm playing with my glasses.
Computers are me.
Well, you are in Oregon. Though.
I don't care that much, though, because I'm comfortable.
Yeah, that is true.
That is why I got this microphone stand, so that I can
I know.
Sit back and chill.
He's like the godfather sitting on the couch. Here I am, sitting at my desk in my office.
Yeah, the horse head is being FedExed to you as we speak.
Oh.
So, Mike, you got a good verse in mind, and I'm gonna give it a little bit of an introduction here, a little some prerequisite here. The world's in chaos right now, right? So we've had, I mean, back to back gnarly earthquakes. You see those? One in Mexico. One in Taiwan. Right? And there's some concerns that with a typhoon hitting Japan, that there's also
Well, I don't know if you
I follow
if you, there's a YouTube channel called The World
Concerned about Earthquakes in Japan.
I don't know the guy.
So,
but he records all like the world's disasters, and if you look at the last 30-60 days, just the magnitude of world disasters is crazy. All the floodings in France, you know, everywhere. Here in Arizona, you got floodings in what? I think Arkansas. I mean, just all across the United States. But not only
that,
I'm
actually looking at Matthew 24.
Italy. You had floodings in, what was it, Pakistan or India? I mean, like major, major. You know, and you know, it's crazy. And, you know, it makes you think because, you know, the Lord says in the last days there's going to be wars, rumors of wars. There's going to be famine. And then, you know, it didn't dawn on me. You know, the world leaders are right now, they're trying to make a man-made, you know, crisis where there's no food. But then if you think about it, if the world is flooded in these farmlands all over the world, it's going to wipe away our food.
Too much of this, but you open the door.
And there comes the famine.
I'm going to walk through.
And, you know, I always say, you know, you should all, you know, being Asian, you should always have rice on hand.
Yeah.
You know, if you're of the Latin background, always you gotta have beans. Whatever the case may be. Rice and beans, jeez, right? But
just flowed into fame. Because what you're talking about, earthquakes, you're talking about, and then you famines here. And what you did was you just started popping open seals is what you did, didn't
hey,
you?
Hey, you're comfortable. You got your Bible.
I am comfortable, man.
You are studying apologetics, and I want to pick your brain.
I'm not going to talk apologetics, okay? I can't use those big words. panentheism. Panentheism. Not pantheon. Panentheism.
Two different things. Words that you don't like. What? Okay. You're like, Glock, I know. Suppressor, I know.
Yeah, exactly. Here we go. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures say, a quart of wheat for a denarius and three quarts of barley for a denarius. Do not harm the oil and the wine. And then here we go again. When we opened the fourth seal, I heard the fourth living creature say, come and see. So I looked and behold a pale horse. The name of him who sat up was Death. And Hades followed with him. And power is given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill them. Yeah, that was awesome. But seriously, back to real life. If we're seeing these things starting to happen right now, the sword with hunger.
And stole the candy bar.
And about the beasts of the earth. Speaking of beasts of the earth, did you see the video I shared today?
Right.
Well,
no, I saw that meme though.
What do you think is happening? What do you think is coming? You know, God gives us this book as warnings. Walked into a convenience store, stole some candy bars, and walked out. Dude, it's Yogi. It's Yogi Bear. Anyway, so why would he show us what's starting to happen? Because this stuff is already starting to happen. Because Jesus said in Matthew 24, Luke 21, he said, when these things begin to happen, which they are, he said, look up, for your redemption draws near. Okay. First, sure. Coming down off my pedestal. Michael, you have an awesome verse for me.
In Zephaniah, which we don't really hear very often.
No.
But in chapter 3, in verse 17, it says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. And he will rest in his love. And he will joy over thee with singing. And, you know, I was meditating on that because the previous verse says, in that day, right? In that day, we're talking about in that day. We could be in that day in the last days, right? And I think we forget that the Lord is singing over us. He's in the midst of us. He's mighty. And I think more and more, if you think about it, it's more applicable today than ever. Jesus says, if two or more are gathered in my name, I am in the midst. And what has happened in 2020 with the pandemic was to disperse the church at large, right? And now, sad to say, Christians have gotten comfortable sitting, you know, at home and watching services in their jammies. Not saying that's wrong, but it also says do not forsake the assembling of the brethren. Because why? In the last days, what are they going to try to do? Is to do away with the church, right?
Yeah.
And in the midst of all that's going on, you know, like you were just reading, look up, for our redemption draws near. And I forget who said, I think it was Jan Markell. She was like, things aren't falling apart. Things are falling into place, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you look at that and, you know, you can't help but in the line of work, especially as cops, not so much as firefighters. Firefighters just put out a fire and then they're like, they look at the cops. They're like, all right, you guys got it? Cool. We're off back to our couches. Cops are the ones that are seeing all the ugly stuff, right? But putting on the Christian hat, as we're seeing the world kind of boiling, so to speak, you got floods everywhere. Now we have back-to-back earthquakes. You know, everybody's texting me like, did you hear about this earthquake? Did you see this? Did you see that? And I was like, I don't know. And then, you know, I got small snippets of, you know, bathroom news. And I'm like, wow, people putting recordings on from Mexico. This is crazy. Never in our time are you getting real live video feeds from actual happenings currently, right? Because just 50 years ago, there was no text messaging. There was no emails. You know, you barely had phone calls in the sense of those that had phones in their home.
Yeah.
And we forget that, like, there is what's called snail mail. Even before that, there was a telegram, right? Mm-hmm. So if people died, you don't know if they died until they got a letter 2-3 weeks, month later, and they're like, oh, our cousin died or so-and-so died. And yeah. We're seeing things happen so fast, right? Like, everybody's got a phone these days. Everybody has an access mm-hmm. to a phone, and they're seeing things taking place live. And, you know, I'm seeing all these floods everywhere, earthquakes everywhere now. And then, you know, you mentioned there'll be rumors of wars and there's famine. I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, we got world leaders creating a false narrative to control food, right? But I'm like, what if the other side of the planet is you got God, God created nature, nature's just taking mm-hmm. place, and there's rain and there's floodings everywhere. And I've heard that it's just destroying crops. You know, and so, and today when I was reading this verse, I'm like, God is in the midst, and it says he's mighty. And he will rejoice. Well, then he says he will save. He will rejoice over thee, over us with joy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He will rest in his love. The crazy thing is, he's not resting in our love for him. He's just resting in his own love, you know. And he will joy over thee with singing. And what do we do as parents when our kids are afraid when they're young? We hold them. I don't know about most dads, but I know most moms will take them and they'll sing them a lullaby and sing to them, right? Or hum. And here's a picture of God who's mighty, but he's also tender. He's singing over us. And, you know, but he's a warrior. But he's a warrior that sings over us. And so, I don't know, that was on my heart. And it's like, I'm always preparing myself to, how do you say it, to be taken up, you know, and Adam's moving around. I don't know if he can hear me. Oh, he's going to text me. He can hear me. But as I'm sharing, you know, if those of you that are watching this and listening to this, this is just a casual conversation that Adam and I are having. And in the line of work that you're doing as a cop, as a firefighter, as a soldier, whatever you're doing, you know, Adam's got to grab his charging cable on his laptop. But if you're listening to this or if you're watching this, I just want to encourage you. The most important thing you as a woman, you as a man can do is your salvation is in Jesus Christ and no other. Because if you're not a believer, God can't sing over you. God can't be mighty over you because you're not one of his. And so, kind of like you wear a badge under a certain department, that certain department has a covering over you as a firefighter, as a cop. And so too, if you are a believer of Jesus Christ, you have an umbrella policy, so to speak. And in that, you find strength in the Lord. You find joy in the Lord. You find love in the Lord. And it's in, how do you say it? Knowing Jesus Christ, that you can fall on that versus not knowing Jesus Christ. There used to be a saying to be undecided is to be decided in your walk with the Lord. And if you're an individual who wears the badge, if you're undecided about Jesus Christ, you are decided about Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I know too many cops, I know too many firefighters who push off Jesus, like, you know, that's religion, that's a crutch, whatever. Real men, real women, all know that that crutch on Jesus Christ is a good thing, because when we're hobbling, he's died on the cross for our sins. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, you've signed your death certificate, so to speak. And in everything from Genesis to Revelation, when it comes to pertaining to the believer, that's, you know, the covering of the Lord of Jesus Christ over you. But if Jesus Christ is not Lord over you, then judgment is there. And so in the line of work as a firefighter and as a cop, you got to realize there's law. If you commit this crime, there's this, you know, penalty that you pay for it. And so I know too many firefighters and cops that I've known who pushed off and delayed, you know, accepting Jesus Christ. And next thing you know, they get shot in the line of duty and they don't make it. They're trapped in a fire and they don't make it.
Mm-hmm.
And my hope is somewhere in that moment, they cried out to God so that their soul might be saved. It's like the thief on the cross, right? He never got a chance to be baptized, never a chance to go to church. For a while, the two thieves on the cross, they both mocked Jesus Christ. And then finally, one of them wised up and said, "Hey, we deserve this penalty, but this guy doesn't." And he said, "Lord, will you remember me in paradise?" And Jesus said, "Yeah, today you'll be with me in paradise." So there was a salvation conversion taking place. But sad to say, we've been so hardened by the things that we see that we push off Jesus Christ like it's religion. It's not religion, it's a relationship. And that's where people get it wrong. And this this verse, "The Lord thy God is mighty in the midst of thee." If you don't know the Lord, he's not covering over you, you know? And salvation in Christ is Jesus Christ having our six, having our back. Not having salvation in Christ is you're choosing to be on the other side, on the enemy side. And that's where, you know, for thin line believers, our job, Adam and mine, is to be out there and to encourage you guys to not to lose hope. Because, you know, when you put on the uniform, you're like, when you say "I love you" to your spouse and your kids, man, I hope you mean it, because there's a good chance you might not make it home, right? And so, you know, today as I was meditating on these verses, in that day, well, what day? In that day when the Lord returns. You know, God is mighty.
Doesn't seem so much like it's in the future.
And right now, we've got a president. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even call him president. I mean, gosh, I don't know what he's done besides hike up gas and food prices and let illegals into our country. But we've got, mm-hmm, not just him, but you've got the likes of George Soros, Klaus Schwab, who is trying to get rid of everything of God away, right? The New World Order and whatnot. And so, as I'm, you know, seeing the world go into chaos, and I would have never thought I would see it in my lifetime, but having drag shows
in schools,
and I'm like, and men thinking that they can get pregnant. Yeah, and I'm just like, okay, so that in that day is now different for me, because I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm waiting for that day, right? I'm waiting for, no, you know.
And that's why I would agree with that.
if you're in that firefight, you're holding out for hope, right? You know, if you're in that burning building and you're, you know, a beam falls down and cuts you off from the other members, you only have limited air supply. And you have to radio out Mayday, right? And I'm like thinking, well, our air supply is going to be limited on time on here on Earth. And I don't know if you heard, I don't know if it was Pastor Brandon Holthouse. Is that his name? He and Pablo something.
And Brandon Holthouse.
On Tom Hughes's, that you're talking mm-hmm. about, you know, I think I sent you the link. But he, you know how like, but you know that there's that talk right now.
Oh, smart guy. Though.
There might be a possibly another revival before
Italy.
The return of Christ. And they were mentioning how
you said Italian.
They think the rapture of the church is going to be the revival. Mm-hmm. Could be,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I think law enforcement has a tendency to mm-hmm. see it more than other agencies, because law enforcement,
right.
He's a, yeah, Fraccini, right? Fraccini? Well, I don't know.
Okay. But it didn't do me much good to pull it up because I can't even pronounce
yeah,
it.
Yeah, super smart
Pablo
guy.
Pablo he's got Fraccini? That,
I don't know, Italian blood. I think he's from Brazil. I don't know. He's actually is from
yeah,
Venezuela?
Yeah.
I think it's Italian name, but he's got that Italian that was in South America somewhere. But when they told me, when, you know, well, I'll say this, you know, being in ministry, mm-hmm. you want to see revival in individuals yeah. and yeah. you want to see revival in churches. Right? Question is, where is it? Right? The revival that was during the Jesus movement, that changed the trajectory of the world. It changed the whole generation. Right? Well, when Brandon Holthouse, whatever his name is, and Pablo, Brandon and Pablo, when they were saying that they were talking about that the revival is going to come probably at the rapture of the church, I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. I got to chew on it and think about it. And it makes sense. All the signs are there, right? And, but being in the ministry and pastoring a church, you know, it really makes you wonder, like, Lord, well, first and foremost, I want revival in my own personal heart. Because if I'm not fired up for the Lord, mm-hmm. then how is the church, right? But at the same time, there's more and more Christians that are living like the world, right, then, you know, during revival yeah. days, if you study revivals, they've mm-hmm. always changed the culture. And so I don't know what to think, because, like, you know, you being a, you know, Leo, you've seen the worst of the worst. You've seen
a couple
the worst
contributions
of worst
to make. I mean, you said exactly you
know,
what I was
what
thinking.
What one
year so
killing
like,
can do another.
Bada bing, I don't even have to yeah. do anything.
And that's why I know, like, a lot of law enforcement guys, like, I know
was
like,
awesome.
This is why they get jaded.
I mean, you even said, you know, you
God
talked about
care.
Personal yeah. revival. It's like, all right, that's what I was going to say.
But at the same time,
it's,
we have to see what the Bible says.
I mean, here's the thing. We live
in. You know, I remember, I don't know who it was. I think it was a Bible college professor. I don't know who the pastor was, but I remember him saying over and over again in a study, in that day, right? And then when you left that class, you're just like, wow, in that day, this is going to happen, right? So, anyways, I don't want to talk too much because I can go on. Hey, you're on the couch. Taking what in? Oh, gosh.
I got a psychologist? Okay. I'm not 100%. I'm not.
No,
I'm
my goodness. Faith wavers. There you go.
Everything else.
It's kinda...
But ultimately, every time I come back to this darn book, I can't tell you how many days I can go for my answers. You know what I mean? That when I show up, God's going to wipe away every tear from my eye.
Yeah.
Why? It's your show, man. You're doing good. I know, and I'm taking it all in. This is my pew. No, if we want to have a good response to it,
yeah.
And listen, I don't come from this from a I got it all figured out kind of thing. Okay, I've come back to this. I haven't missed a day of reading this in years, and it's not for bragging rights. It's because there's nowhere else to go for the answers. There's nowhere else to go for hope. This book is a love letter from God, and it's the only place. What's going to happen in the end? This tells me I'm going to be raptured. What's going to happen after that? This tells me there's going to be no more tears. Those are probably going to be tears of joy. And he's going to wipe them away. And then there's going to be no more sad that's coming. So yeah, you know what? You know what? One of the greatest questions. This life is hard. But God is a fallen world, right? We live in a fallen world. And whatever is going to happen is going to happen. Our response to it is our response to it. That's what it needs to be. We have to be able to have the proper response to it. So what's going to happen is what's going to happen. It's our response to it that matters. And we get sorrow. That's going to be gone. Revelation 22, man. Revelation 22 is why I live and why I keep living. Because of that singing over us.
Hmm.
How do we respond to that? And, I hate to quote him because he's way too smart for me. You and I already talked about this. Norman Geisler said that the same sun that melts the wax hardens the clay. I'm with my son. And that is probably the most important question that you can ask yourself. It's not, how am I going to get through this? Theological or otherwise that I have ever heard is, you know, one day God's going to say, what have you done? It's not,
yep.
What am I going to have for lunch today? Although that's a very important question. The most important question is, what have I done?
You know,
mm-hmm.
While you're talking, I pulled up this quote. Maybe people have heard it, and I don't know. It says, marriage is hard, divorce is hard.
The sun.
Choose your heart.
Capital S.
Obesity is hard. Being fit is hard. Choose your heart.
And if it's anything,
being in debt is hard. Being financially disciplined.
Greater than when you go to heaven.
Choose your heart.
A steep price.
Communication is hard. Not communicating is hard. Choose your heart. Life will never be easy. It will always be hard. But we can choose our heart. Pick wisely. You know? And, you know, you and I both know, having pulled over people for speeding.
Be devoted to him.
You and I both know.
That's wrong. You know,
pulled over people for, you know,
I choose to
driving while they're drunk and all this stuff. And,
and God will not stand in my way.
We forget and remind people with our badge and ticket book. Hey, you're getting this ticket because you chose to do this. Right? Mm-hmm. Well, come on, officer, give me a chance. I was like, well, no, you've had your chance. I ran your driver's license and your record says that you've sped multiple times. You know? And, you know, I have a tendency to try to do this as loving as possible when people come to me. I was like, you chose this outcome. And they're like, no. I was like, no, you did. And I go, I don't want to be mean because I know what it's like to be chunky. I know what it's like to be overweight. And I chose to do that. At the moment, I didn't see that. But looking at pictures, I'd be like, whoa, look at the love handles. I'd be like, oh, I chose my heart, right? And, and you know, people have to realize whether you're a Christian or a backslidden Christian, or if you're a non-believer, you're choosing whatever it is. You got to choose wisely. And, you know, we're told in scripture, choose you this day whom you will serve. Mm-hmm. But the beauty of Jesus Christ in Matthew, he says, you know, come unto me all who are weary and heavy laden, you know, and I will give you rests. And the rest is both mentally and spiritually, in the sense of mentally knowing the fact that if and when that time comes, I take my last breath here on earth, I'm going to take my first breath in heaven. And that's because I chose to, you know, believe in Jesus Christ.
Can I?
You can say whatever you want. This is your show.
Can't think of the word. What is the word I want to say? Oh. Choose this day, heal me also.
Yeah, go for it.
Because given what it did say, here's what it didn't say. It didn't say, choose this day if you will serve. Hmm. Implying that to serve is not a choice. The choice is, whom will you serve? So, inevitably, we are going to serve someone. We're going to serve ourselves. I would say, in today's day and age, self is the most served God. In today's day and age, more of us want to serve ourselves than God in the world. I would say serving a loved one, anything outside of that, there's, you know, serving the enemy, i.e. Satan. We're going to serve someone. So choosing to die to self, that's what it means to pick up the cross, right? Who that is, that's a huge choice. The addiction. That's my cross there. That's not the cross, man. I know a lot of people say, oh, that's my cross to bear. Oh, I have a can. The cross is what killed. So I believe when Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me, what he was saying is die. So if we're going to choose whom to serve, to yourself and follow me. I'll tell you who you should choose, and that's Christ, because of what he did for you, but also the benefits that come with serving him. Okay, and like Michael just said, he said, my burden is easy, right? And to serve anyone else, it's going to be burdensome. I may not feel like it at the moment, but it's true.
You know, many years ago, I think everybody goes through it. You have, you know, there's, how can I phrase this? In serving you know, Jesus says, choose you this day whom you will serve, right? So he's saying you're going to serve somebody.
Right.
And we're always in that position of serving me, myself, and I, right? The unholy Trinity. And I don't know who the pastor was. I was young when I was going through a bout of depression. And I'm trying to think who it was. Anywho, he said something that really triggered my mind on, you know, depression. And, you know, when you're going through that deep depression and you have that vortex of thoughts of suicide, not that you're planning it, but like you have those stupid thoughts of, I wonder what life would be like without me here.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what life would be like if I'm gone. And I remember this pastor saying depression is masked in selfishness, but you don't see that. You know, and I thought about that for a long time, you know, because when I was going through depression as a young single man, and I think like everybody else, like, the enemy speaks evil into your voice and into your head, and you're like, oh man, life isn't worth it. Life sucks. My family doesn't like me or love me. I have no friends. And, you know, I'm still flipping burgers at In-N-Out. Well, In-N-Out's bigger than McDonald's, but, you know, you go through these bouts where you're just like, you're seeing your friends date and get married, have kids. You're seeing your friends and classmates going to get jobs and getting good pay. And then you're still kind of like, oh, what the heck? You know? And, mm-hmm. you know, when Jesus says, choose you this day whom you will serve, I guess the question I ask myself is, am I going to be self-serving and serve my needs? Or am I going to serve the needs of others? And, you know, not this past weekend, but the weekend before, I was up in the mountains in Arizona. Yes, there, I found out that there are actual mountains with pine trees in Arizona.
Gotta be elk somewhere.
I was like, holy smokes, it's at 6,000 feet level. I was like, wow, this is Arizona?
Mm-hmm.
But the theme of the retreat was blind spots. And we studied the life of David. And my portion was on the blind spots of the prophet Samuel and on Jesse. And, you know, we all know that story where God's plan was never to have an earthly king, but the people wanted it. So
mm-hmm.
then, you know, they picked Saul because he was tall, dark and handsome like Adam is.
Oh, and, good Lord.
You know, with the stash, you know.
He probably had a mustache. That's right.
You know, head over all the other people, and they're like, oh. But then, you know, we're told in 1 Samuel 16, God told Samuel, like, to go to Jesse's house, and he goes there, and says to bring a heifer, you know, and told Jesse, he said, bring your sons. We're going to anoint the king today, right? And Eliab walks by. Surely this specimen has to be the one. And then God called him out. What was it in verse 7? Look not on the countenance of man or the stature. You know, man sees on the outside, I look on the inside. And so obviously mm-hmm. Samuel had a blind spot. He only saw with his eyes. You know, yeah. And then Shema and Abinadab go by, and Samuel's like, hey, Jesse, is all your boys here? And Jesse's like, oh, the runt, the youngest, he's out with the sheep in the pasture, right? To the point where even his dad doesn't even mention him by name, you know? And I think the one thing that I encouraged the men at the retreat was, you are chosen regardless of the blind spots in people's lives. Mm-hmm. Samuel had a blind spot. Jesse had a blind spot, and that's his dad. You know, and it was interesting to me when I was studying for that, how, you know, David's heart was prepared out in the sheepfold to be a shepherd. And each of us has a purpose and a calling. And we have to find that out. I don't know when that is for everybody. I've known that I've been called to the ministry when I was a young kid. You know, but God allowed me to get my, I don't know, physical desires of having been a firefighter and a cop out of my system. You know, like that taste of soot and fire and then the brass. I'm like, cool. I had it in my system. I'm like, cool, it's done. I had the highs. I was like, okay, this is it. You know, and it wasn't until, you know, the Lord had called me years ago. I remember reading in, you know, reading through the book of Exodus and how the Lord used Moses to lead the people out of Egypt. And he had a staff in his hand. And the Lord, man, impressed upon my heart that when I was holding my guitar and the Bible, that was my instruments to lead people out of Egypt, the world, into the presence of God. And, you know, you, because you wanted to go in deeper, you know, there is a calling on every individual's life, because God has given at least one. You know, I've heard people say like, oh, I don't have any gifts I can use to serve the Lord. That's a lie. God has given every single human at least one gift that we could use for his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a matter of using that one gift. Right? And where we need to be in these last days is, are we exercising that one gift to its fullest to the Lord? Because we got to serve somebody. We're either going to serve the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I, mm-hmm. or the Father, Son, and Spirit.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Like in these crazy days, man, it's like people don't, you know, we all hate cops that are bad cops, right? Same with the fire service. Now, in these last days, and picture this with me in your mind's eye, in the Gospels where these guys say, hey, Lord, but we prophesied in your name. We healed in your name. Blah, 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 right? And the Lord says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. That's kind of scary, bro.
Like, oh, man.
So, obviously, there's deceit, right? Because, and we know it in the sense of, you pull over a Ford, you know, vehicle. Looks like an SUV. Black. It's got a bull nose guard. It's got lights. Huh, the plates look a little different than the usual state certified or state issued police license plate. Right? You air it over. Hey, dispatch, you know, blah, 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 your number, right? 1 John 1:3. Go ahead. They're like, hey, can you clear a plate for me? You know, I'll be out with Oregon. You know, 1, 2, 3, ABC, you know, alpha, beta, whatever. Not registered. I'm like, really? Huh. It's got, looks like a cop car. Can you check to see if it's an unmarked? I don't know. It's still not registered. Okay, cool. I'm going to pull him over. Can you send another unit behind me? I am here and here. So pull this guy over. You walk up and you're like, oh, he's got a uniform. Got the patch, got the badge, you know. But as soon as you pull them out, it's like, oh, this guy's a poser, a total wannabe, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, Ryan Reese from Whosoever's at the Calvary Chapel Pastors Conference. And I haven't heard that word in a while, posers. Mm-hmm. And he's like a total skater, not even a surfer. Like, he's like a skater, right? And he's like, you know, there's so many posers out there that dress like this. And they dress like skaters, but they're not. You know, he kept on going. And I went off on a tangent in my head. I'm like, got me back into my police fire days. I'm like,
dude, your analogy is fantastic.
There's a lot of posers in the
church. What you're saying is this guy looks the part. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the part. Everything seems to fit except he doesn't have the authority, granted, mm-hmm. from a higher power. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. So that's what we're seeing in the church all over the place today, which is terrifying. We're seeing all these people that look the part, they act the part, but their authority doesn't come from our higher power.
Man, I'm going to write that down.
I like your analogy, Michael. I'm impressed by you.
No, it's you. Just be good
at apologetics.
Man, it's just being in video presence with you, man. I'll leave you with this. You're drinking tea. I remind people at the church all the time. You never know how good a tea bag is until it's in hot water. Right? And I, you know, and my prayer is like when I go through trials, when I go through, you know, it's like that analogy of coffee bean, an egg, and a carrot, right? Have you heard that analogy before?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, so if you're watching or you're listening, so everybody faces adversity and that's represented as hot water. You know, if you're a carrot, you go into hot water, you become soft and mushy. If you're an egg and you face hot water, you become hard and cracked. But if you're a coffee bean, you get grinded and you face hot water, you change your dynamics. And you know, you're drinking tea, well, maybe, I don't know if it's Earl Grey or chamomile or whatever it is. But my prayer is that when I'm going through adversity, as I'm being squeezed, what's coming out of me, right? Mm-hmm. You're holding up your Bible and have you had those experiences where you try to go away from the Bible? And you dabble in some stuff and you're just like, it still doesn't satisfy. Right? And you're like, oh, the Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ covers all of my sins.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what? You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'll share this last bit before we continue on. No one warned me when I moved to Arizona, there's what's called monsoons. No one told me that. The pastor that took over from, blah, you didn't warn me about these monsoons out here. And they are beautiful to see from miles away. The lightning, the cloud, I was like, man, it's cool at night. But when it's right over your house and it's blowing, and I've heard a new term out here called, it's called microbursts. And it's these winds up to 150 miles per hour that's knocking down trees and just dumping of water. One thing I realized, water, if you pour water, right, it just goes to the lowest point where it goes to. Jesus says, I am the living water. And if God pours his water upon us, and we have it covered, then that water doesn't get to the lower portion. And having seen these monsoons, water will go where it's at the lowest point. And I realize in the deepest crevices of my heart, I've kind of covered it up. And I don't let the water go in. Kind of like when Jesus went into the temple and flipped tables, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh man, the storms in our lives are kind of like flipping of tables so that the water can come in and wash it all out. Because the one thing that rain does in the desert, it washes away all the dust and dirt and, mm-hmm. you know, cleans the air. And I'm like, Lord, I've been praying more and more that he would send microbursts into the churches so that he can clean out church, so to speak, because I fear the day, man, for a lot of people. Like, we're just talking, like, with the posers. It's like, you know, like, wow, they look the part, they act the part, but they have no authority.
Yeah, man, if the rapture comes, it's going to be rough.
Isn't that going to be crazy? A lot
of questions, man. Like, why are you still here?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, look at what the world's going to try to do when all the Christians are gone. They're already trying to talk about, oh, the aliens have come and blah, blah, blah. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, I mean, could you imagine when, right now, what if we were raptured right now during the show? It would still mm-hmm. be recording at 53 minutes. And people are going to be knocking, looking. I'm like, you know, like I've told my neighbors, I was like, hey, dude, if in an event the rapture comes, I got food, I got rice,
mm-hmm.
you know, in my house. And they're like, what are you talking about? I was like, dude, you're either going to believe or you're not going to believe.
Mm-hmm.
And could you imagine? All the chaos that's going to... I mean, could you imagine traffic?
Oh, man.
Everywhere?
That's what I want to be. I want to be driving a patrol car, code 3, and then just disappear. Right?
You're like, Lord, right, I want to see what happens to my car.
Right before a roundabout, just launch over a roundabout.
You're like, my dream was always to be raptured while I was surfing. Like in a just epic, just not a huge wave, but just a clean wave, just barrel that I'm just like, yeah, and then poof.
Pretty California boy.
Or, you know, but I tell this to people at my church all the time whenever I'm leading worship. Selfishly, I always pray that God would rapture the church while I'm leading worship, because that way I'm worshiping here on earth and I get into his presence worshiping.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that would be the ultimate, like, here I am to worship, here I am to bow down. Poof.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got your eyes closed and don't even know.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'll be like,
better is one day in your courts, right?
Yeah.
Anyways, bro, I think you should pray us out.
Deal. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time with my brother. Thank you for this time to talk about you, because there's no better topic to talk about than me. Lord, thank you for helping our interwebs here to keep on going. Lord, we're grateful. We pray that something that you are willing to speak to us, that you are willing to speak through, that was discussed today, will reach the listener in a way that me and Mike couldn't do without your Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask that you would bless the listeners that go forward in their week, and that you would watch over them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yes, brother.
Cool. I'm not sure when this will get out. Hopefully before Friday, because Lord willing, Saturday, I will be at the CrossFit Wilsonville
Yeah.
Or an Everyday Warrior event. If you don't know what Everyday Warrior is, give it a Google. It's a pretty cool deal. A buddy of mine, his wife passed away back in 2014, and this foundation was started by her before that. And it's just a really cool thing to help pay some of those bills. So it's a pretty awesome foundation. Anyway, we're going to be at that CrossFit event, raising some money, hopefully help them out, hopefully get some people who are struggling with cancer. It helps them to some of our apparel out there and spread the word about this new podcast. So yeah, we would appreciate prayers on that.
I know you're probably going to edit some of this, but you should do a little promo video on the Insta.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, do a quick reel, you know, do a promo before, and then when you get there, do a little, you know, live reel of the competition, you know. Yeah, because I want to see pictures. I'm going to send you pictures of my tacos.
Good ideas tonight. See?
Food truck event.
You're on fire. Good thinking. You should do these at night more often, because apparently that's when you're firing on also.
Oh, yeah. I'm a night guy, man. You get me before 11 in the morning, I'm like, oh. You know.
Hey, folks, thanks for listening. We better get off here, though. We're around a long time. Good idea.
Towards the end, you could put a blooper reel.
Good idea. Hopefully that's stopping. I push the stop button.
On my end, it's still recording, it said. Man, you gotta get closer to the city, bro.
Why does you hate it?
Pineville. I'm gonna start calling it Dyingville right there, bro. That's where all internet goes to die.